Well, we begin this morning, last time to be in the pulpit. Here for your year of 2015. I want you to know that I appreciate all the things that you've done to help me as I've tried to do the things that I believe God wants me to do as your evangelist. I want you to know that I have great hope for the new year, and I also, on behalf of myself and all of you, a very happy holiday with your families during this time of year. And Reed and I would ask that you would remember us. Father, I'm looking forward to the rest. And I pray that you'll pray that we would have a safe trip. Class next Sunday. Also, Brother Steele will be taking my classes on Wednesday evening. I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that I appreciate your willingness to do that for me. Once you take your Bible up, it can be very world that we look. Happens in the world is when one fails to completely comprehend the meaning of Scripture and forgets to make the proper understanding of what is written, it will inevitably lead them into a conclusion that cannot be sustained by the Scripture. For many, many years, more than I can even count, the Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25. there are certain judgment that's going to come on somebody. But that judgment is going to come upon this generation. This is certain judgment, swift judgment, and it's going to be contained. Thank you. what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now, understand, what are they looking at? They're looking at the temple, and they're looking at all the buildings surrounding the temple. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, do you not understand these things? And surely I say to you, not one stone will be left upon another. The stone of what? The stone of the temple. All the temple buildings are going to come down. He's talking about the temple. He's not talking about the end of time. He's not talking about all the elements in the earth. He's talking about the thing that they are looking at. They're looking at the temple, and they're admiring the beauty of the temple. And he says, don't you understand that this will soon be removed? It will all be done away with. Now, to a Jew, that would be a terrible. Thank you. This is the end of time. The Lord's coming. It's coming very quickly. That was 2001. I think this is 2015 or soon to be in 16. And so we're talking 15 years ago. But yet men were proclaiming that this was the end. They did that during Vietnam. They did that during the Persian Gulf War. They did that in Grenada. Every time there's an uprising, they say it's the end. It's not the end. You know, I don't know when the Lord will come, but I guarantee you it won't be when they predict that He will come. Because there's no predicting that. But this judgment, this destruction, there is going to be signs. And so it must be different than the judgment of all time, because this judgment has signs that precede it. The first is false Christ. Next, in verses 6 through 8, he gives some more distinct signs. Wars and rumors of wars. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. You see that these are trouble, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For a nation will rise up against nation, the kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Notice, the end is not yet. The house is not desolate yet. Not one stone will be left upon another. When these things start happening, the end is not yet. It's not quite here. But when they begin to see these signs, when they see nation rise against nation, when they will see famines, when they will see pestilence, when they will see earthquakes in various places, these are the beginning of sorrows. What does that mean? That means that this is the beginning steps leading to Jerusalem's destruction. And they are telltale signs. Now let me ask you something. If these are signs of the end, have we had some floods? Have we had famine? Have we had pestilence in the world? Have we had all those things? Have we had kingdom rise up against kingdom? Have we had rumors of wars and wars? Have we had all those things? We've had all those things. But the end didn't happen, did it? It didn't happen, did it? Because we're still here. So that can't be talking about final judgment, because all those things have happened and we're still here. So this is talking about another judgment. verse 15.
Therefore, when you see visible, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, spoken by Daniel the prophet. He's talking about Daniel 9:27. Whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down or take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back and get his clothes. Notice, the Roman army enters Judea to desecrate Jerusalem and to destroy the temple. Now they might be in the field. They might be in the mountains. They might be in the housetop. What does he tell them to do? He tells them to run. Why? This is the final judgment, right? Run. But this is final judgment. Where are you going to run to? Where are you going to run to? Ain't going to be anywhere to run. In the final judgment, everything's going to be destroyed. Where are you going to be running to? But why does he tell them not to go back? Why does he tell them to get out? Because that's the way of escape. There's a way to escape this judgment. There is no way to escape final judgment. Do you see the difference? I know you can see that. He goes on to say, but woe to those who are pregnant in those days, who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of the world unto this time, nor shall there ever be again. And unless those days were shortened, this is an important statement, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now listen to what he said. There would be no one survive unless these days are shortened. No one would be saved. But they are going to be shortened so the elect can be saved. Now what's he talking about? What's he talking about? The blood that was in Jerusalem in the destruction of Jerusalem, Josephus said, the blood was larger in quantity than the fire, and those that were slain more in number for those who slew them. For the ground did not nowhere appear visible for all the dead bodies that lie on top of it. How terrible was this destruction? The multitude of those that perished exceeded all the destruction that either man or God ever brought upon the world. Estimates say that over 1 million Jews died if the war had continued. If the war would have continued, then all of Judea would have perished. So what does it mean that the days will be shortened for the elect's sake? Now, if you would care to go back and read history, here's what you would find. When the siege was laid against Jerusalem, Vespasian is the one who led the siege. But then there began to be trouble back in Rome. And so he left. He left the siege, but he left the battle. And then later, he would send back Titus to finish the job and to destroy the city. But for a very brief moment of time, the Roman army pulled away from the city. You know what that was? That was God's providence to get out. If they took the words of Jesus to heart, then when that happened, if the days were not shortened, if the siege had not been pulled back a little, nobody would have came out of Jerusalem alive. But when the armies pulled back, when Vespasian left for a short period of time, those people who read these words and followed the instructions, they got out. They got out. And that's why some of the Christians were spared, because they heeded the warning signs. And when they saw the armies around the city, and when they saw desolation was imminent, and then they saw them pull back, they knew that was their opportunity to leave, and that's how they got out. Now, how did God know that? How did Jesus Christ know that was going to happen? Exactly like that. Because he could see it. He could see it in his mind. He saw when he looked at Jerusalem. He saw the destruction. He saw the blood. He saw the corpses. He saw the armies. He saw all of it. Because he knew it was going to happen. And so he's giving them warning so that those who would listen could escape. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is no kind of escape route when the Lord comes in final judgment. When the Lord appears for the final time, there will be no escape routes. There will be no reason to run, because time and life as you knew it has come to an end. But that's not so in the passages that we're reading now. The passages we're reading now, this says that there's going to be a judgment that can be escaped. What judgment is that? It's the judgment on Jerusalem, not the judgment on the whole world. The judgment of Jerusalem. And then, in verses 23 and 25, they're told to flee, ignore the claims of the false Christ, persuading men to stay in the fight wrong. Then if anyone says to you, listen to what he says. If anyone says to you, look here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Why did he do that? He did that in order that they might not be deceived, that they might not fall prey to those deceivers. You know, there are those who teach, even in the Lord's church, that at the destruction of Jerusalem, that the Lord appeared on the earth again, that there was final judgment, and the resurrection occurred at the destruction of Jerusalem, and use this passage to prove it. You know what they're called? They're called AD 70 people. Did the end of time come in AD 70? Did the resurrection happen in AD 70? Was final judgment rendered on AD 70? And if it were, what about us? What's going to happen to us? Well, we don't know about that. Oh, I know about that. This is not talking about final judgment. This is talking about why. Listen to the last part of this. See, I have told you. Why did he tell them? Why did he tell them about it beforehand? He was giving them a way to get out. It will not happen that way in final judgment. You see, a false prophet made a public proclamation in the city that God commanded them to get up upon the temple and that they should receive miraculous signs and deliverance. See, false prophets told Israel, told the Jews to fight. God didn't tell them to fight. God said, don't fight. Get out. But you see, he says false prophets are going to tell you to stay and fight. But they are false. Do not listen. That's why I told you beforehand. So you won't be deceived. You see, brethren, all you have to do is follow the text. It explains itself. It cannot be talking about final judgment. It's talking about the local judgment on Jerusalem. One more passage and then we'll stop. In verse 26 through 31, Christ coming in judgment will be seen by all. It will not be in secret. Therefore, what's that word therefore mean? That's a conclusion being drawn. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also is the coming of the Son of Man be. For whatever the carcass is where the eagles will be gathered together. Now, in this text, he's talking about the carcasses and the eagles. And there's be lightning and flashing of lightning. And all of this, is this not going to be any secret appearance? This is not going to happen in a corner that nobody can witness it. Why would there be eagles? Why would the carcasses be there? What did we just read? There were a million bodies and blood all over the city of Jerusalem. If there's blood and there's bodies, those are carcasses. And what do you have when you have carcasses? You have birds flying around, vultures, eagles. He's talking about a destruction. And he says, do not believe it. Do not believe what the prophets, these prophets tell you to stay and fight. Get up. Give yourself an opportunity to survive. The carcasses and the eagles. The ruling Christ, Jerusalem falls, and his elect are safely. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, now listen to what he says. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sun and the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with God is bringing divine retribution. And the only way to get up is to see the signs, see God's providence extended, and to get up. Now, tonight, we'll look at the second part. We'll look at the end of this judgment, and we'll look at the beginning of the final judgment. And we'll do that tonight. If you want to read ahead, read over chapter 25, because we will go through that very rapidly tonight. because it's really broken down into three sections. It's very easy to understand, and it won't be hard to understand after we get out of 24. Please take your songbooks out and turn the song that Brother Mel has selected as a song of encouragement. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we don't want to end this service without giving you an opportunity of rendering obedience to the gospel. We don't want to leave without you having an opportunity to make your life right with God if you need to do so. We know that God loves you. He cares for you. That's why he sent his son to die. He also told us as his children, when we find ourselves out of step, that if we repent and we turn away from the sin and we acknowledge it and we seek his forgiveness, we are told in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. If we can help you in any way, we bid you to come forward as together we stand, as we sin.